Today we go on to finish the latest verse on the Mangala Sutta. The last two parts of this verse are Katanyu Kalena Dhamma Savanang Eta Mangala Mutama. Katanyuta Katanyuta means gratitude. Kalena Dhamma Savanang means to hear the Dhamma at the right time. Katanyuta is something very important in Buddhism, which is maybe not talked about quite enough. But it is certainly a part of the Lord Buddha's teaching that we should be grateful for those people who have helped us. We should never forget the good things that they have done for us. We should try our best to put aside the bad things which they have done. And whatever good things someone else has done for us, always try to remember those things. It doesn't mean that we have to be with the people who have done good things for us, or even necessarily associate with them. Sometimes people have done good things for us, but are also the sort of people who we shouldn't associate closely with. For instance, with monks, it's always difficult to associate with lay people. Sometimes it seems like the monks are very distant from the world. And this is, of course, a behavior for monks who have removed themselves from the world. Sometimes it's quite difficult because we depend on lay people as our support. And yet we're not, it's prohibited for monks to repay the gratitude given by lay people, repay the acts of kindness shown by lay people with similar acts of help. It's considered wrong livelihood for monks to barter with lay people. Lay people do, if the supporters do one thing and then the monks turn around and support with labor or with gifts or so on in the same way, it's considered to be flattering or ingratiating oneself with the lay people. As a monk, we are content. As monks, they are content with whatever they get. They're very happy to receive nothing. They have to be content with nothing. And so we're not allowed to ask for things or to return the favor in the way of amisa, objects, external objects. But of course it is the job of the monks to turn around and teach, to study intensively and to memorize. Sometimes for lay people the only duty is to come to practice. And for monks it's necessary to study and to memorize the Lord Buddha's teaching, to pass it on. So they often are in a better position to teach as a result. So they can go ahead and teach as a way of returning the favor. So sometimes we can't always show our gratitude due to the circumstances. But we have to keep in our hearts a sense of gratitude for those people who have helped us. First of all, gratitude for our Father. Even though sometimes we can't be with them, sometimes they... Even our mother and father might have wrong view. But it's still somehow our duty not to be with them or even to necessarily to support them. It's somehow our duty to try our best to show them the way, if possible. Sometimes it's not possible. Many times it doesn't come about. But sometimes if we're lucky, it is possible. It's possible to bring about a change in our parents. Sariputta's mother, even to the last moment before Sariputta was going to pass away, she still held firmly and was very adamant that Sariputta had followed the wrong path by leaving behind the religion of the Brahmins. And before he passed away, Sariputta was very sick and went to see his mother. He managed to show her that the path which he had followed was truly the right path. And in fact, it was the path that even Brahma himself paid the greatest respect to. And Brahma himself came to pay respect to Sariputta before he passed away. Sariputta is a very good example of gratitude. Not just in regards to his mother, but in regards to anyone who had done something good for him. And the way he showed it was very clearly in line with the Buddha's teaching. There was one man who came to be ordained. It was the man who had, had disrobed 6 times. And become a monk and disrobe and become a monk and disrobe. And the 7th time, no one wanted to ordain him. Nobody would ordain him. And he came and he asked permission to ordain again. And the Lord Buddha knew that if he ordained the 7th time, he would become an arahant. So he asked the monks, is there anyone who could think of something that this old man had done for them? And Sariputta spoke up and said, yes, one time when I was going by his house, he put a spoonful of rice in my bowl. I can remember something good that he did for me. And the Lord Buddha said, well, Sariputta, then you ordain him. And he said, Sadhu Sariputta. Very good, Sariputta. Because this is a sign of a good person who remembers even a small gift given to them. Even a small good deed someone does for them, they remember. They don't ever forget the good deeds which one has done, even a small good deed. And so he ended up ordaining and becoming an under Sariputta and becoming an arahant as a result of Sariputta's gratitude, just one spoonful of rice. Well, gratitude isn't exactly what we're practicing here. We're not directly practicing gratitude, but we can explain how does gratitude fit in with the meditation practice. It's important that every time we practice, when we finish practicing, we spend a short period of time dedicating the merit which comes from the practice to our parents and our teachers. Teachers since we were young, to our relatives and our friends and our enemies, and to all beings, and may all beings be free from suffering. If we do like this, we'll never meet with danger anywhere we go. We have to try to remember every time to distribute the goodness which comes from the meditation practice. It's a way of developing gratitude in the heart, developing a sense of gratitude for those people who have helped us in this way. And the last thing to talk about is kalayana dhamma savanam, to hear the Dhamma at the right time. Hearing the Dhamma is something which is very difficult. Those of us who come from other countries, we can appreciate this. And sometimes the Thai people don't appreciate it so much, how difficult it is. Which is natural, because it's not so difficult in Thailand. But the difficulty doesn't just come from not living in a place where we can hear the Dhamma. It also comes from the difficulty in finding a time to hear the Dhamma. The Buddha said, kalina, which means at a time when there is the Dhamma, or at the right, at the time which is suitable. Or it can also mean the fact that it's hard to find the time to hear the Dhamma. Even people who live in Thailand, in the time of the Buddha Sasana is very strong here, they don't take the time. Even in the Buddha's time, many people couldn't find the time to hear the Dhamma. Or it can also mean in the time when there is the Dhamma in the world. It's not that there's going to be a Buddha arise in the world every day. It's obvious that it's something very rare to find someone arise in the world who we could call a Buddha. Who is capable of teaching. It's very difficult. This is Dhamma, which is very difficult to see. Which is very profound and deep and hard to understand. It takes someone, they say, four uncountable, at the very minimum, it would take four uncountable eons and 100,000 great eons on top of that, just to become a Buddha, which I talked about before when I talked about the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. And during that time, so other Buddhas arise and pass away, but so much of that time is full of, is empty of the teaching of the Lord Buddha. So in this life we've had a chance to come to see the Lord Buddha, to see the teachings, to come to hear the teachings of the Lord Buddha. We shouldn't take it for granted. It's not something that's easy to find. Not just difficult to find in the world now, but difficult to find this just birth as a human being in the time of the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha's teaching is something which doesn't arise in the world every day. We shouldn't be negligent. We've missed time for ourselves. We've wasted 2,500 years not coming to see the truth. Even though the Buddha's teaching has been around for 2,500 years, we still haven't reached the goal, which means all of us have been quite negligent. So now that we have found the chance, we should not waste our time being negligent anymore. So what does it mean to hear the Dhamma? The Dhamma of the Lord Buddha, there are 84,000 teachings according to Pra-Ananda, who kept it in his mind with everything the Lord Buddha taught. But all together it comes down to three things. 84,000 teachings come down to the teaching on morality, which means to refrain from bad deeds. Teaching on concentration, which means to be full of goodness in the heart. And the teaching on wisdom, which means to see clearly the truth of suffering and the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering and the path which leads out to the cessation of suffering. Eighty-four thousand teachings, it all came down to only three things. Etang Buddhana Sasanang. The Buddha's teaching all comes down to three things. And morality doesn't necessarily mean keeping precepts, although the rules which we keep are quite important. For lay people, it's important to keep five precepts at least. If you're practicing meditation, eight precepts. Novices have to keep 10, monks have to keep 227. But these are simply worldly precepts. These are things which create a communal harmony. If we can keep these precepts, they will create harmony in the monastery, harmony in the country, harmony in the world. They create a sort of establishment. But the morality which the Lord Buddha talked about was a sort of morality of mind, or virtue of mind, where the mind doesn't fall into evil states. When we watch the foot, right goes thus, left goes thus, or lifting, putting, lifting, moving, putting, and so on. When we guard the mind and don't let it stray from the object and keep bringing it back again and again to the object, this is morality. This is called the morality makanka. And it's a factor of the path. Morality is a factor of a part of the path which we have to follow. Altogether there are eight parts, or we can say three parts to the path. This is the morality part of the path which we have to follow. And when we guard our minds, keep it from wandering away from the object, this is morality. And once we guard our minds in this way, there arises concentration. So most people think of concentration as fixing on one thing. This is a kind of concentration, but it's a concentration in the world, when our minds are fixed and focused on a single object. But this is impossible. It's impossible for this kind of concentration to lead to wisdom. And the wisdom which the Lord Buddha needed us to see, which is impermanence. Until we can see impermanence, it's clear that we're not meditating correctly according to the Lord Buddha's teaching. We're still only practicing what the Lord Buddha called samatha, which is a good thing, but it's not correct as far as allowing us to see the truth of suffering and so on. We have to come to have fixed concentration on everything which arises and ceases, on those things which are impermanent, those things which are real inside of ourselves. And we watch the foot moving, or we watch the belly rising, and we see rising, falling. The mind fixes on that object. Why do we use the word to acknowledge the mind fixes when we use the word as an aid, it fixes on the other. Just like when you practice samatha, you need to say buddho, 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 dhammo, 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 sangho, sangho, and so on. When you practice vipassana, you also have to fix, but you have to fix on reality. That's the only difference. Concentration means you have to fix the mind. You use this word like a mantra almost, to fix on the ultimate reality, to keep the mind from wandering. Because normally the mind is watching the phenomena arise and cease, but it's watching with wrong view, with conceit, and with craving. It's thinking that this is me, this is mine, this is under my control, and so on. Now when we say to ourselves, rising, falling, the mind is